Hello, friends. My name is Sandra Timko, and welcome to Lumen Christi. We are honored to continue a two-part interview with the revered Father John Hardin, speaker, humble servant of the Lord. I'd like to introduce you now to Father John. Welcome back, Father. I'm so glad you've taken this time to share with us all your wisdom. When we ended our first chat together, we ended with talking about Blessed Mother, the two natures of Jesus Christ. And you said, of course, he has a divine nature and a human nature. His mother was his human mother. But she received the incarnation through the Holy Spirit. Tell us the importance of embracing a relationship with Blessed Mother.
Your words cannot exhaustively explain. Acts of Mary, we know Jesus Christ. She was invited at Nazareth by the angel to become the mother of the Most High. By agreeing to that, won't you pronounce the words, be done to me according to your word. That moment, the God, who had been on earth from the beginning of time, began, or was began, present on earth as man. God then began to be present as man, thanks to Mary. For 9 months she carried her God in her womb, gave birth at Bethlehem, and then raised him for 30 years at Nazareth. For 3 years, maybe sure, she followed him during his preaching.
For the believer that does not embrace Blessed Mother's part in salvation, what would you say? Why is it important that we go to her for intercession on our behalf?
The bottom line is believing that Jesus is the incarnate God. Anyone, everyone, who underestimates the role of Mary, without exceptions, that person has either a vague or uncertain faith in Christ's divinity. Won't you believe that the child to whom she gave birth at Bethlehem was the living God? Everything else follows. Consequently, Mary, first of all, was responsible for God becoming man. And God will remain man for all eternity. And God will become man, better, God has become man, to remain on earth as man. Holy Eucharist. The Eucharist began in the womb of Mary. When would you said, can I be according to thy word? God became man, and the Eucharist started.
You mentioned earlier, well, between taping, that Mary being present at Pentecost was essential, that she received a measure of the Holy Spirit to help perpetrate the church.
Yes.
Explain that.
Well, Mary was already Mother of Christ. But then on the cross, remember just before he died, Jesus told John, behold your mother.
Yes.
Told her, behold your son. The church was born on the cross. The moment Jesus died, the church came into existence. But just before he died, Christ made sure the church had a mother. That mother is Mary.
Why was it important that he leave his children with a mother?
Because we all need a mother.
Pure and simple.
Well, need a mother twice over. Need a mother to bring us into this world. I tell women, you don't stop. How do you start being a mother as a verb once you give birth to that child. When the church was born on the cross, the church needed a mother. And consequently, ever since Christ's death on the cross, it is He as the living God who confers the grace on all mankind. But as I think I've said before, the grace comes from Jesus, but through Mary to us.
Now, is that because in her saying yes, that showed a level of submission that we can possibly attain?
Well, Our Lady had an extraordinary love of God. So deep, she never said no to God. Our Lady, therefore, began to be the mother of Christ the moment she conceived her son. She became the mother of the church the moment Christ died. Now, when we say Mary is mother of the church, we should explain what she's the mother of. What is she obtaining for us from her divine Son? Obtaining for us the grace we need to do His will.
So she does set this amazing example that if we will submit to what He calls us to do, she will help us receive the grace?
Yes. In fact, it's not only that she gives us the example, because Our Lady is not only the great exemplar of what we should be. Mary, I say this, knowing what I'm saying, is the channel, the conduit of all the graces that God gives the human race. Without the grace which comes always through her.
But what about the believer that feels that they need only to ask Jesus to intercede on their behalf to the Father?
Well, provided they think this way through ignorance. If it's ignorance, God has mercy on ignorant people. But if they should know better, then they will not receive the grace except to be converted. Because I know there are two kinds of people in the world. Those who accept God's grace and those who don't. And if a person does not believe here in Mary's intercession, I repeat, if his ignorance is not culpable, God has mercy on him. Our Lady, He is kind to him. He has grace anyhow. But if he should know better, he has the grace, unless he submits his mind to the mind of God. I have to say this, he will not be saved.
That's pretty powerful.
Now, many people, millions, those who are not Christians, never heard of Jesus, not to say Mary. We can safely say their ignorance is inculpable.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yes. Any other questions?
Yes. Lots and lots. Okay. With the Eucharist, we know that there is great peace and wisdom before the Blessed Sacrament. It's a port of refuge. It's a place of great growth. It's being in the presence of Jesus. Many people in the church don't accept that. They don't believe that that's the true presence of Jesus Christ. You said this is the singular most damaging thing happening in our church today.
Yes. I was told by the Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, twice, in 86 and 88. Everything I possibly could in the United States to restore faith in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, where that faith has been lost. Strengthen that faith where it's weak. Otherwise, I'm quoting Pope John Paul, I fear for the survival of many of your dioceses in America.
Why? Oh, this, I hope this doesn't sound crude. A man is called to the priesthood. He submits to that call. He celebrates Mass. How can he enter into consecration if he doesn't believe that that's the true presence of Christ? And then, what happens to the parishioners that go to receive?
Only God knows why. However, our country has lost some 10,000 priests since the close of the Second Vatican Council. And the main single reason is a weakening and even loss of faith in the real presence.
Why? What's causing that?
Well, first of all, in one word, the devil. The devil knows the Catholic Church will survive only while there is still faith in the priesthood. And as you know, such widespread dissemination of error, and I mean error, and the bottom line of that error is regarding the priesthood having the power to change bread and wine as the living Christ. Where this faith is absent, there is no Catholic Church.
And that's the name of his game, you suppose? He would like to wipe out the Catholic Church?
He does. And he's succeeding phenomenally.
But that's terrible.
Well, that's what happened in the 16th century. Martin Luther preached for 15 years. He became the founder of Protestantism. I've taught in 6 Protestant seminaries. 7 years, Lutheran School of Theology. I never once taught one lecture in Protestantism. My Jesuit superiors were paid good money to have the Jesuits teach them Catholicism. Martin Luther lost his faith. Martin Luther did not believe once he became what we call a Protestant. Did not believe that a priest can change bread and wine as the living Christ.
But surely some of these men that have become priests and have seen the power of just the Word of God on its own, the converting power of the Word of God on its own, would have to know that if the Word of God just in its spoken form is life-changing, that surely the body and blood of Christ in a nurturing sense as...
Yes, but hear this. In the year 1600, my Jesuit confrere, Senior Robert Bellarmine, counted the number of theories about the meaning of Christ's words, "This is my body, this is my blood." Over 200 interpretations, and not one believed that the words of the priest at Mass changed that bread and wine as the living Christ.
How do you know? I have my own personal understanding because I've had healings at the ingestion of the Eucharist, physical, emotional, spiritual healings. So I know that to be the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. But for you personally, have you experienced any profound or miraculous events because of the inception or the distribution?
Well, I have over the years. I've seen many people who have being persuaded, pray before the Blessed Sacrament, have their lives miraculously changed. And you in Lourdes, feel blessed with the monstrance. Holy Eucharist is the source of the principal miracles that take place in Christianity. And the principal miracle is conversion of sinners. The answer is yes.
Well, then, for the churches that have occasional communion, and it is thought of as a commemorative act, while that's a nice thing to do, you're as much as saying there's something so much greater that could be gained when you accept that it is truly the blood and body of Christ, because it can activate deeper conversions and there's grace.
Well, over the years, teaching theology to my own judgments, teaching so many people, I've told them faith in the real presence is a source of miracles. The same identical Jesus here, Holy Eucharist, as working miracles in Palestine. Remember the woman, hemorrhaging for some 12 years. Big crowd of people finally got to Christ, crawling underground, and pulled his garment.
Hem?
And Christ said, "Who touched me?" Disciples said, "Who touched you?" They're shoving, they're pushing. "Who touched me?" No, he said, "I felt power go out from me."
Yep.
That's what the Eucharist is. Power going out from the living Christ still on earth. Anyone who believes in the Eucharist knows that Christ works miracles. In fact, be a faithful, believing Catholic in America today requires a living miracle.
True.
A miracle about a miraculous medal.
Oh.
Tell us that.
Oh. Changed my life. I was ordained a little over a year in what we call tertianship. Vincentian priest came to tell us to get faculties to enroll people in the Confraternity of the Miraculous Medal. He told us, some 30 Jesuit priests, fathers, this medal works. I thought to myself, medals for women and children. No cost. I got a 4-page leaflet. 4 months later, I enrolled a boy dying of a broken head, permanent brain damage. I blessed the parents, blessed the boy, was leaving for myself. This medal is supposed to work. So I got a medal. The moment I pronounced the words, closing of the enrollment of the Confraternity of the Miraculous Medal, and my life and a death, rest happily in motherly embrace. Amen. Open in Latin then. Pronounce the words, "Materno eius amplexu." Amen. This dying boy, unconscious, woke up. We were stunned. He said, "I'm hungry." His mother, "I want some ice cream." We came to, called the doctor, "This is impossible." That miracle changed my life.
Were you a bit of a skeptic before then?
Oh,
not just with the medals, but in other levels of your faith?
Yes. In fact, I called in 2 months after I had the Jesuit novitiate. I'm a Jesuit superior. "Johnny Cena, what's wrong with you? You're the accuser. What's wrong with me? You are an intellectual bully. Either show some humility or 3 days from now you come back. If your fellow novice don't tell me about any increase in humanity, I will send you back home. Where am I, humanity, ever since?
That was the changing. That was the moment.
Yes.
So you were an intellectual bully? Is that the way they saw you?
Say that again.
You said that he used the terminology intellectual bully?
Intellectual bully.
Yes. So you had all the head knowledge, but your heart wasn't changed.
I'm still working on my humility.
What a way to gain it, huh? That's amazing.
God bless you. I just knew my 40-some fellow novices, good men, I knew much more than they. Given 3 days, show some humility.
Wow.
And I can tell you this, most of the writing that I've done before the Blessed Sacrament, he is here.
He's pouring it through you. What would you say to encourage young men to consider the priesthood? You've had a rich life filled with grace.
Well, first of all, these men have got to be convinced that there are good priests, sound priests. They must know where to go, what either diocese or community they should enter. They need help, very happy to help them. We need priests desperately in our country.
How desperate are we? How small have the numbers declined to?
The country is in desperate need of priests. There are dioceses which have many empty parishes. Detroit closed 42 parishes. Chicago closed 62 parishes in some 3 years. Without a restoration of the priesthood, the Catholic Church, I repeat, will die one diocese after another.
Oh, what a tragedy. What tradition do you think parents in their vocation as parents, Catholic parents, what is an important tradition that they hand down besides going to Mass? What's an imperative tradition that they need to give to their children to help propagate the church?
The parents must be living good, very good Catholic lives. The parents do not practice contraception. Parents accept the children God wants to send them. Parents pray. Before I began to walk, my mother told me, I told you how to kneel. Know what the nails are for, they're for kneeling. Holy parents will produce
holy children.
Holy souls.
Do you realize that people may think that some of these things that you know to be true are old-fashioned? Doesn't matter.
Well, they are not just misled. They are being, I've used the word deliberately, bewitched. They are being misled by the evil spirit. And the beauty is, only one sure offense anybody committed against me, tell me that I am stupid. It takes a lot of intelligence to believe the Catholic faith, but then humility to accept whatever the Church teaches. And the Church teaches means the Vicar of Christ. I go on for hours.
What part of your Catholic walk has brought you the greatest joy? That's a hard question because you've already said how much the Eucharist means to you and your relationship with Blessed Mother. But is there something that brings you great contentment?
Yes. Suffering for the faith.
Wow.
Defending the faith. Speaking in favor of the faith. I don't use the word denouncing, but responding to the heretics. I love it.
Do you?
There was a war going on.
Mm-hmm. You're on the front lines.
Yes. I love to defend the faith. That's the main reason I wrote so many books.
You do a lot of seminars and conferences. You were a speaker. It's the first time I ever saw you was in the spring of last year in Dearborn at a Call to Holiness conference. It was my first experience with that. Is there somewhere that you'll be speaking soon?
Yeah, I'll be speaking in New Mexico for the end of the month. Speaking in Kentucky for the end of the month. I go to Rome and give some lectures in Rome from the 4th of October to the 14th.
And any of your books or tapes are available through...
Oh, yes, they are.
Through your publishing... Who's your publishing company?
My main publisher is Doubleday.
Okay.
And then, besides Doubleday, there's Ignatius Press, Serving Publications.
And a new one, isn't there? Grotto?
Grotto Press also.
Grotto Press. And these books and tapes are available through contacting...
Yes, they are.
...those publishing companies, but also at our sponsor. She is currently carrying your books.
That's wonderful.
I want to thank you so much. The time went by way too fast. We have a little more time. So before we go, I'd like to ask you just simply, if there was one moment that was the most incredible moment as your walk towards Christ as a priest, is there an outstanding moment where you might have felt his presence greatest? Or a moment where truth all of a sudden just invaded your complete being?
Maybe surprised. My first Mass. The only Mass in Latin. You know, the bread. That was the words, hoc est enim corpus meum. You know, we genuflected twice. Mm-hmm. Once immediately after the consecration, elevated, we had another genuflection. For a split second, and I consecrated the host, thought of myself, this is impossible. How can you now genuflect as though this is the living Christ, the longest second in my life. My resisting of that temptation was the most important in my life.
Wow.
Am I clear?
Yes, you're real clear. That was the test of tests.
And when I knelt down, I thought I'd crack the marble floor.
Boom.
This is Jesus Christ. Thanks for the question.
Thank you for the time.
God bless you.
I hope that all of you are as blessed as I've been through this time together. It's gone much too quickly, but I want to leave you with a parting bit of knowledge and nourishment from the Word of God, taken from Psalms 143, verse 10. It instructs us, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your kind spirit guide me on ground that is level. As always, remember to let Christ's light shine through you."